What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Call to Serve podcast. I am your host, Reggie Hubbard. If you haven't, go ahead and like, comment, subscribe, share, all that jazz. It really helps us with the mission of serving those who serve others. Today, I have a very special guest from the Fort Lauderdale area, Coach Rob. Now, let me tell you about Coach Rob. Coach Rob was a veteran of the Navy 10 years, 17-year law enforcement veteran, and he is a coach, personal development coach that helps people turn their pain into progress. Welcome, Coach Rob.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, I think so, man. You seem like a really cool guy. We chopped it up a little bit. Before we started recording, I'm excited to hear what you have for us. So why don't we just start off very briefly, just telling us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so like you said, was in the Navy for 10 years, about 17, 18 years total time. Law enforcement between military, federal, and state law enforcement here in Florida. In 2018, after my mom had passed, I was miserable being in the field of law enforcement. Mentally, it just was a drain. As a veteran, I have PTSD, anxiety, major depressive disorder, and social anxiety. And I had a huge problem overcoming that, right? So 2018, I decided to leave. I built a strength and conditioning gym where I ran that for 4 years. Unfortunately, COVID had another idea and took my business out like overnight. That caused me more mental health issues, depression, trauma. And I was like, man, I can't keep living like this. So I kind of delved or went down the route of personal development and really started to learn about my trauma, facing my trauma, who I am as a person, who I want to be. And that's essentially how Coach Rob was born, where I do personal development coaching and I help primarily veterans or first responders, but literally anybody that's dealing with some sort of pain point, struggle, or issue in their life, I help them overcome that.
Wow, that's powerful. And it's much needed. You know, as a military veteran myself of 14 years and a law enforcement veteran myself of around 12 years or so, I understand the pressures that we face and the battles that we face being on the front line, no matter where you're at and what uniform that you're wearing. So that's very commendable. Thank you for that. I do have some questions for you. So, you know, I think it'd be appropriate we just dive in and we just kind of see where it goes.
Let's get it.
All right, Coach Rob. So my first question for you is, after serving in the military, what inspired you to transition into law enforcement?
Well, and you probably know this as well, most of the time when we're in the military, whatever our job is, that's what we do when we get out, right? Unfortunately, there's a whole other world where the TAPS process and things that are happening to our military members as they transition, it's not very good. It's not done very well. Mm-hmm. And I have some other veteran friends that are actually fighting to change that because, you know, you might know this, as soon as we get out, we lose everything overnight, right?
Yeah.
When we're in the military, or even as a police officer, we're told what to do, how to do, when to do it, why to do it, their structure, routine, discipline. And then overnight, they don't really give you any help. They're just like, okay, you're a civilian now, have a nice life. And that gets very frustrating and dark and despair. So, you know, I was a master at arms or military police officer in the Navy for the bigger part of my career. And when I got out needing a job, it made sense to try to apply for Department of Defense as that GS level position, secured position. Mm-hmm. And so I just followed suit. But the sad thing with a lot of veterans, I think, you know, they have their trauma, their issues, and they don't deal with it. So essentially, I stacked trauma from being a veteran to stack trauma from being a cop. And I just continue to stack trauma on trauma on trauma. And that's not a good place to live or operate from.
Yeah, I mean, that's I can definitely relate to that, man. You know, I feel like we're kind of cut from the same cloth because
definitely.
While our service years or, you know, time periods may be different or they may even overlap, I'm not sure. I have also experienced that, you know, being in the military, you develop skill sets or you're trained to do certain things. And then like you said, you can lose it all overnight, because it's like, now you're like, well, how does what I've been doing for a decade or two decades right. translate to the civilian world? Like, how can I use what I've learned to make a living outside of the military? Is there a future for me outside of the military?
I don't, did you go through TAPS when you got out?
I did not.
See, so I did, and I don't even remember what they taught me. Unfortunately, there wasn't really anything there more than how to write a resume. And I don't understand, you know, there's no personal development. There's no, hey, if you're feeling some kind of way, or you have these mental health issues, this is how you get help. There's not really a big process of how do you start your VA claim to receive some form of disability or compensation for what you went through. So there's a lot of things broken in the military system through the VA, through TAPS, through education. A lot of things need fixed for our veterans. I don't think the civilian public really understands what we go through when we get out.
Yeah. I think a lot of them think that we're just robots. And I think that the uniform kind of dehumanizes us, if that's even a word, but it's a word today.
Definitely. Right? I think for us, it was double duty, right? As a veteran and as a police officer, you're just expected to, you know, have this constant look of, I guess, a solemn look on your face of nothing affects you, nothing hurts you, nothing bothers you. And that's a hard thing to deal with for, you know, for you, 14 years. And then however long you were a cop, and me 10 years and then 17 years as a police officer, that's a lot of time to be a robot, so to speak.
Yeah. And then I like how you said, you know, stacking the trauma of being in the military, right? We're just kind of trained to embrace the suck, you know, Charlie Mark, you know, continue the mission, keep it moving, right? And you don't really realize the weight of that and the cost of that until, unfortunately, you implode.
Yep. It cost me my first marriage of 18 years. I mean, my ex-wife was a veteran, and she, you know, there was things, obviously, it takes two. There was things she didn't give me in my relationship, but I can honestly say, looking back, the majority was my anger, was my mental health issues. It was my lack of love for myself. It was the frustration I had for who I was or who I was becoming as a person. And I took that out on my wife, you know, mentally and emotionally. I took it out on my kids mentally and emotionally. Thank God I wasn't a physically abusive person, but I did damage to them, man. Damage that I've had to, you know, try to fix and try to help my kids overcome. And nowadays when I tell them, like, you know, two of my kids are adults and my youngest is 13. And I tell them, I'm like, I love you. I want to spend time with you. I want to see you. And they're like, Dad, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm just letting you know that I'm a different man. Like, I'm here to be your father and to lead you with purpose and respect and love and devotion, and not with the things that your dad was in the past. So,
yeah, I mean, that's heavy. And I definitely appreciate you for sharing that, because not everybody's willing to share that, but it's a real thing. I mean, my first marriage also, I probably was not emotionally available as he may have needed me to be.
And yeah, we know, you know, as cops, you know, we don't learn how to emotionally regulate things, right? We don't learn how to shut things off. And most of us, when we deal with these horrible calls and these bad situations and this pure evil that we see on a daily, because you see more bad than good, it's just the nature of the beast. And then you get home and you don't know how to turn it off. So when you walk through that door, you're still in police mode. You know, even when you take the uniform off, like, that trauma, we don't typically tell our loved ones, like, what we saw or what we've been through, or, you know, and so our family members don't know how to deal with that. They don't know how to help us because we can't help ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, man, that is so real, because you can be feeling things, and I've been there, I've been feeling things and not really knowing why I was feeling them. Just like, well, why do you feel this way? I don't know. I just do, you know? Well, let's talk about it. Let's not, you know, like, just talking about it makes me more angry. It makes me more irritable. You know, like, I'm good. I'll process it. you know, I think a lot of us are internal processors because that's kind of the way that we are taught to be, right? Yeah. You know, the mission comes first before anything else. It comes before your emotions. It comes before your family. Definitely. You know, they probably
want. That's not the right answer.
So. Yeah, of course not, dude. Not if you're a family man and or any time. But, you know, when you're in the thick of it and when you, you know, are in the execution mode, then that's what they expect. They expect you to be able to cut everything off and only focus on the mission. And that's just not human.
It's not a way to live,
you know, there's a price to pay, for living that way or being exposed to that type of trauma for very long periods of time, you know?
Definitely.
One thing you said, we were just talking about TAPS. One thing that I definitely want to touch on, which I think maybe the military could, or, you know, the government and as a whole could improve on, and maybe they're taking steps now to make veterans more aware, is the you know, the VA, the disability claims and things like that. I heard nothing, man. I knew nothing about that process. You know, it's kind of like I had to walk in the dark, you know, when going through that process. I was completely just ignorant to the whole scenario there. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know who to talk to. You know, and I think that really can play a huge part in the transition from being military to, you know, going to the civilian life, because especially if you have that concern on what am I going to do or how am I going to feed my family, especially if, like, you didn't retire, right? At least this is something that can help supplement those everyday costs, mm-hmm. right? Even if you're not, like, at 100% or whatever, like, something coming in.
It's something.
You know, you served, right? You took the beating, right? You deserve to be compensated for whatever it may be.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, it sucks because it's, like, two sides of the coin, right? You have the veterans, you know, like me, who I have, you know, physical abuse from the military. I have my military trauma or whatever. My PTSD, my major depressive disorder, all that stuff comes from my service. And so, you know, I was told, like, look, you served your country for 10 years. You got out medically. It wasn't your fault, but you need to be compensated for these things, or it's almost like your service is kind of worthless, right? But then on the same token, we have people that nothing happened to them and they're abusing the system. And so that puts it harder regulations for people like us to get compensation.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, with TAPS or even just getting out in general, I don't understand why they don't have big seminars that, you know, TAPS, I think, is only like 5 days, maybe a week. If you're getting out, it should be a month of, hey, you know, this is what kind of work do you want to do when you get out? Let's help you find a job. Let's help you get your VA claim started, you know, and see what things you can be compensated for. If you need mental health help on the outside, are you going to be homeless? Like,
yeah,
there has to be a whole personal development type seminar to protect the people going out that are going to become veterans, so they're not lost. Because you're right. When I got out, I didn't know any better. And they told me, oh, you can either take your VA disability, which at the time I was only 10%. I didn't know I had mental health issues or anything else going on. Or you can take a severance check. But if you take the severance check, you have to wait until that money, I guess, like, comes into the same amount that you're going to get for disability. So it was one or the other. And they didn't really explain it to me properly. So needing money, I took the severance check. You know, that's instant $50,000. That's instant a year worth of my salary,
yeah,
to at least be able to live until I start to figure things out. But then, like you said, I got out and no one followed up to say, hey, did you file your VA disability, or did you go see DAV or some of the veteran organizations that are out there for the vets? No one reached out to tell me this.
Yeah.
So I had to find out on my own.
Yeah, man. That's very unfortunate, man. That's very unfortunate. I wish that I do like the idea of having a 30-day boot camp, right?
Exactly. If you're going to train us to be killers, right? Train us how to be civilians.
Yeah.
Seems pretty simple to me.
Yeah. You know, train us to be able to turn the switch off a little bit, you know, so that we can transition into life outside of the uniform, man. I just think it's the amount of suicides is crazy. The number is crazy. You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't know of the different resources that are out there. I had no idea, you know, that there was a veteran crisis line until I needed it, you know? And I wasn't, you know, suicidal or anything like that, but man, there was some times, man, where I lost my stuff, bro. You know, I just started going through something. PTSD, man, is a real thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially when you're locked into that trauma and you start to re-experience that trauma, it's like you're going through it all over again. Like you have the fight or flight.
The crazy thing I think is like, we never really know when it's going to show up. Right. It just kind of shows up at those most inopportune times where you're like, what the heck's going on? Why do I feel this way?
Yeah.
And you know, especially for me, when I was in society, that would mean that any little thing used to drive me crazy. If I got cut off, I would flip out. If someone got my personal space, I'd flip out. If someone bumped into me, I would, like, any little thing. Like, I had no emotional regulation whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out, like, how I was going to do that and fix that, because when I got with my current wife, been married for a year, but we've been together for 8 years, I didn't want to repeat the same cycles with her that I did with my ex. I didn't want to lose this relationship because I was angry and frustrated and sad all the time.
Yeah. That's, that it can be like that, brother. I mean, trust me, I've had some times where it seems like the most minute things on the wrong day at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's catching it. But yeah, man, thanks for sharing that, brother. So I have another question for you, which is kind of related to the topic of trauma. When did you first begin to recognize the impact of trauma on your mental health?
It was pretty much, I guess, around 2021. It was after I lost my gym, right? So I lost my gym, and at the time, I took that really bad, right? I took that as a huge failure in my life. Like, I thought this was my purpose. I had this goal to branch out and, you know, open 3, 4, 5 gyms and maybe eventually franchise it. And I was like, man, this is going to, you know, make me a lot of money and give me the life I want to live. And after I lost it, like, I remember, you know, I just stayed in bed. I just stayed on the couch. I didn't do anything literally for like 6 months. My wife was worried about me. My kids were worried about me. But I just couldn't like get out of that. Like, man, like, you know, especially like from a religious or spiritual standpoint, like, God, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
Why are you, you know, and the first thing we always say is like, God, why are you doing this to me? And I think a lot of times, once again, with the emotional regulation and reframing how we think about things, I got to a point where I was, you know, still angry at the world. And so what happened was, after I lost the gym and about after 6 months, my wife's like, well, you know, you have to do something. And, she said to me, she's like, well, why don't you go back into law enforcement? Well, that was the wrong answer, but she, you know, she's being supportive. She doesn't know any better. So I go get state certified in Florida. And I start applying to all these departments, and the first department I really wanted to go to, Broward Sheriff's Office, which is a really good department, they wanted me. I had it in. They liked me. They said my interview was awesome. So I'm like, man, I'm going to get this job. And I get my psych scheduled. Like, I'm going through past fitness tests, past everything, polygraphs. And I go to the psych, and no one told me. And this is what's scary, too. No one told me to lie, right? So here I am. I'm going to be a police officer. I was a veteran. You know, Navy core values is honor, courage, commitment. I try to live with that in my daily life. And no one told me that I was supposed to lie to the psych. So I tell the psych doctor everything. She's like, oh, you're a combat veteran. You're crazy. You can't be a police officer. That blackballed me from that agency, right? Because I didn't pass the psych, they're not going to take me. So then I ran into the problem of hand tattoos. So, you know, I'm I'm all tatted up like everywhere on my arms. You know, it's that veteran in me. You got to have tattoos. So, tattoos. I mean, I got like, this is all like sleeved out. So, what was crazy here in the state of Florida, if you have hand tattoos, they don't want to hire you. And, you know, you can cover them up. You can wear gloves. There's a million ways around it, but they still have this dinosaur old way of thinking. And I remember telling everybody in the interview, like, I was a cop at the VA at the Veterans Affairs Hospital, and no one ever said, I'm not talking to you because you have hand tattoos.
Right.
That never came into play. It was how I carried myself. It's how I spoke to people. It's how I approached people. It was the professionalism, right, of the standards of being proper and how I acted out in society. So lo and behold, Seminole Police Department, they needed bodies, and they needed bodies bad because their retention stunk. And I didn't know there was a reason for that, but I was like, pick me. They hired me, got in. Well, I was literally only there for 4 months before I quit. The second day on the job, a young man took his life. I saw that. I had to, because I was the rookie, I had to process the scene. I had to take the gun out of his hand. Like, so instant trauma again, right?
Yeah.
So now we have trauma on trauma on trauma. And beyond that, they didn't want me there. Like, there was a common denominator in all the police departments I was at was, one, everybody was always miserable. Nobody wanted to be there. Everybody hated their wife. Everybody hated their job. The department I went to, I'd be like, how do I get a promotion? You don't. How do I go to a specialty program? You can't. Like, everything was negative, right? So I'm constantly surrounded by negative emotions, negative thoughts, negative people. And I tell the wife, I think I broke down in tears one day. I was supposed to go get my son. I have my son every other weekend from the first marriage. And, you know, you probably know this as a police officer. When you have a police report, you don't go home until you close out those reports.
Right.
Right?
100%.
And as a rookie, I already had like 6 freaking reports for the day. Oof. Because they don't give you a break. They just stack them on you, stack them on you, stack them on you. So I'm sitting in the command in the office. And I'm trying to get my report done. And my field training officer, he knew that I had to go pick up my son a little bit early. I didn't get off till 7 p.m. at night. And all I asked was to make sure I get off on time. Nothing out of the realm of I need 30 minutes early. No, I understand I'm in training. I just need to get off on time. And a call came in. There was a traffic accident. They called a different unit. And my field training officer looks at me and goes, are we taking this? And all I said to him was, no, I got to get this report done so I can go home and go get my son. And he goes off on me. You don't effing tell me no. How dare you? I'm your train. Now, here I am. I'm a 46, 47-year-old man, and you're yelling at me like I'm a child.
Yeah.
You force me to go to the traffic accident. I don't get off till 2 hours later. I don't get to go get my son. Now I have trauma on trauma, and I'm angry. And I go home, and I remember, I think I just broke down in tears, and the wife's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I can't do this. Like, this is not healthy. This is not, is the money good? Yeah, the money was excellent. But is money everything for my happiness? No. So that next day, I think I had like 2 days off. That next day I went in, I talked to my sergeant. I'm like, look, I appreciate the opportunity, but at this time, this isn't for me. And I think that was the start where I was like, man, I need to change my life. Like, I can't be in this constant negativity, darkness all the time, because it wasn't healthy. It wasn't fun. It didn't, you know, there was no benefit to it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's one thing, man. Like, listen, I don't care how old you are, how old I am. At the end of the day, there's got to be a basic level of respect. I'm a man.
Especially like if you have experience, right?
Yeah. I was like, man, come on, dude. I've got a decade of military experience. You probably were never even in the military. Not to make that makes me better than you or anything like that, but come on, it's just basic human decency.
Yep.
You know, first of all, it's cursing at me. That's a no-go. What are you hoping to achieve with that? Talking to me that way. It's not going to be.
Because I didn't
even
say anything. I was just like, let's go to the accident. But, you know, I'll figure this out later. I was very respectful. I never pushed back.
Yeah. And especially since he asked you, right? Like, you asked me a question. You made me feel like my opinion or, you know, mattered. And then I get ridiculed for giving you a legitimate answer which I gave you, right, a reason. I gave you a heads up and made a request to go pick up my kid, which is, that's very real, man. Like, I have a kid. I need to pick up my kid, right?
Definitely.
So, I mean, that's just something that happens in those type in paramilitary organizations and military organizations. You know, at the end of the day, family doesn't always come first.
No. Nope.
You know, and unfortunately, it depends on who your FTO is, you know. So it could be anything, man. It could be anything. Well,
you probably encountered this in the military, and tell me if I'm wrong. You probably had supervisors or bosses, right? And you're working and they're upset at their wife or their girlfriend or whatever. And so instead of going home, they make you work extra hard, right?
Oh yeah. 100%. Misery loves company, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is, man. Misery loves company. They don't want to go home. So if they can't go home, nobody can go home. Yeah. I've been through that before also, man, you know, and it's definitely not fun. Yep. Well, I got another question for you, bro. So, as someone who's walked through the trenches, what message do you have for others still silently battling trauma?
I mean, this is the essence of who I am, what I do, why I do it. And, you know, I thank God every day for, you know, showing me that being in law enforcement wasn't for me anymore. There's no ill will towards that. Like, my inner peace is such an amazing, like, peace is the key to wealth, in my opinion. Now, if you can be at peace with yourself and in your life and be grateful for the things and friends and family you have around you, it's a beautiful thing, man. And to be at peace from, cause I mean, I had suicide attempts. I remember holding, you know, my gun in my hand and thinking this was going to be the last day of my life. I remember telling my wife multiple times I didn't want to live anymore. Because I didn't understand my trauma. So it's okay to not be okay. Right. I tell everybody with my coaching and everything I do, the trauma didn't go away. It's still there. I still have bad days once in a while, but the goal is to always stack more good days than bad days. Right. If you can be 1% better every day, that stacks up over time and you're going to be kind of where I'm at, where I'm not healed. I can just deal with the stuff better through my coaching, through, you know, I have three pillars in my coaching. It starts number one with fitness. Fitness is a high priority in my life. It keeps me from my injuries coming back in the military. It keeps me obviously in shape, feeling good, looking good. It builds mental resilience. Then after that, it's the mindset. You have to change your mindset. You have to have a limitless belief system, not a limiting belief system. You have to be able to believe in who you are, what you do, how you act, how you feel. And then you have to have the discipline, not the motivation, the discipline to keep doing the work and to keep doing what you don't want to do when you need to do it. So for anybody struggling, you're not alone. There's millions of us that have been exactly where you're at. I'm trying to break the stigma that it's okay to feel like crap. It's okay to have mental health issues. It doesn't make you broken. It doesn't make you a bad person. Whatever help looks like to you, whether it's working with me, whether it's seeing a therapist, whether it's taking medication, whether it's learning how to control your breathing, get the help, because there's no reason for you to go through this alone. And there's no reason for you not to be the best version of yourself, especially when we only have one life on this earth.
Yeah, that's real, man. Tell us a little bit about your coaching. How can people find you? How can they kind of look into what it is that you do? How can they get in touch? Give us all
so
that.
So the best way to find me is always at my website, which is battlefittedbrand.com. That will take you to my coaching, to my podcast, the Battle Harder Podcast, to all my social links. My biggest platform is Instagram right now with just over 6,000 followers. But I'm the kind of guy, no matter how big, you know, I have this, what I call BFG, big freaking goal, right?
Yeah.
I want to be the veteran Tony Robbins. Like, before I die, I want to be as big as Tony Robbins, but just the veteran version of him. And I have this plan in my life that no matter how big I get from now until then, if you message me, right, if you really need help and you're like, man, I just don't know what to do, I don't know where to turn, message me. I will talk to you. I will take the time to talk to you. I'm not going to say, oh, I don't know you. I'm bigger than you. Even, you know, and 6K, in my opinion, isn't that many followers. But anybody that reaches out to me, whether it's through my email, through my website, through my social media, and you can find me literally everywhere at Battlefitted, I'm going to take the time to try to help you. Now, the first little bit of advice may be free, and then, you know, you may have to pay to play after that. But I guarantee that no matter what you're going through, whether it's fitness, whether it's changing your mindset or being more disciplined, I can definitely help you from someone who has been exactly where you're at. That's what people need to realize. Wherever you're at, your darkest moment, I've been there. And I'm really trying to break this stigma, especially within law enforcement, first responders and veterans, that if you need help, your job, your command, your bosses, that doesn't matter. Your health is paramount. Your family is paramount. And your love for yourself is paramount.
Wow. That's powerful, man. Well, I do have one more question for you. Okay. And I love asking this question because it causes people to really get introspective. And I just think it's a really fun question. I'll have to change it eventually, but not today. What might people be surprised to know about you, Coach Rob?
There's quite a few things. It's not OnlyFans, so I don't have OnlyFans. So okay. Don't go looking for Coach Rob.
Okay.
I am the biggest nerd on the planet of nerds. You know, as a guy that has this, people think I'm like some big, mean, bearded, bald, muscle-bound, tattooed monster. One, I'm the nicest guy in the world. Like, I may look mean and ugly, but I'm very nice. I love talking to my community. I love talking to people. But as you can see a little bit in the background, I have some Star Wars figures up there that are very expensive. I have a life-size battle droid in the corner that I 3D printed myself. So my whole sleeve is all Star Wars'd out. So number one is I am a huge kid. I play with Legos. I have a Marvel room. I watch all the Star Wars, Marvel, DC movies, collect comic books, play Pokemon with my son. Huge nerd. And the second thing is I'm actually, and I'm not famous, but I'm actually an actor. I was on all three seasons of Graceland as one of their tag team members. I was on The Glades, Netflix Bloodline, HBO Ballers, Fast and Furious 7. And I just recently, and out of all that, the coolest thing was I was in Miami last week filming a PSA against veteran suicide. So being able to act in a PSA for my community to help people heal was the most amazing experience I think I'll ever have as far as my acting career.
I love that, man. That's pretty dope.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know what? You never judge a book by its cover. Yeah, I would have never known that you were an actor, you know, unless you didn't tell me or unless I, you know, saw you on the internet or something like that.
I never had the luck yet to have, like, feature, like, you know, speaking roles or whatever, but I have done what's called a featured extra where you definitely see me at some point in time in like whatever episode I've done. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. I met The Rock's cousin who at the time was his stunt double, and just talking to the dude was amazing. He was such a nice person. And that's always been the goal. So, you know, Dwayne, if you're listening to this, I want to be your best friend, bud. You know, we're both in Florida. I think we could do some cool buddy comedy together. So, you know, give me a shout out, bro. I'll do it for free, man. I will literally act with you for free.
Dwayne, if you hear him, man, hit my boy up. Hit my boy up. You know, well, Coach Rob, this has been a treat, man. I really enjoy talking to you. I definitely want to have other conversations with you offline. I definitely want to keep following what you've got going on. Maybe we could have you come back at a future episode.
Heck yeah.
And just talk to us about what's going on. Before I let you go, though, I do have something for you. I know that we are virtual, so we'll get your information somewhere on the team, and then we'll get this sent out to you. But what I have for you is a custom Call to Serve challenge coin if I can get it
heck yeah.
focused. It's trying. All right, come on.
There you go, right there.
Right
That's
there.
That's nice, man.
And the other side, it has our slogan, serving those who serve others.
Dang, man, we're going to have to link up. You're going to have to tell me where you got those. That's clean.
Yeah, definitely, for sure, bro. And then also, we'll get you sent out a sticker. You could put it anywhere you want.
Right on my laptop.
Yes, sir. But what I would like for this to be, Coach Rob, is a reminder of why you do what you do. So every time you see this, I just want it to be a reminder. The challenge is to continue to serve. That's it, man. Don't quit. Because when you quit on yourself, you quit on others.
So can I gift you something?
Absolutely.
So part of Battle Fitted, and I don't know, let's see if I can stand up and show it to you. This is one of my shirts, right? It says Better Than Yesterday on it.
Yes, sir.
We'll link up after the show because you sneakily didn't tell me you were a veteran and a cop as well. And I'm going to get you some gear, and then we're going to have you on the Battle Harder podcast so we can tell your story, because 100%. That's what I'm about.
100%. You know, this podcast specifically, man, it's about serving others. You know, I would love to come in on your podcast, and
you got to serve yourself too, though, brother.
And tell my story.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna get your story.
100%. 100%. Well, brother, until next time, my friend.